Welcome to episode 179 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
With you every week in the month of August. Welcome everybody to Both Down. I am Scott Prime, and with me is Steve.
Why are you taking over? Like
Kilowoggy Campbell, because I was just going to introduce you, because you're the big deal.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to, I'm the beginning, and then I introduce you, and then you talk.
Okay, you want to do it again?
No, it's fine. Go ahead and switch things up.
Man.
That's fine. You do you.
All right, folks. It's been a while. We have a lot to cover, and instead of doing like a six-hour podcast, we are going to do something we've never done before, and that is attempt to gather every Monday of this month and put out a podcast within the next couple of days. So what that means is we're not going to have a lot of like sections. We're just going to have our subjects. We're going to talk for a little bit, and then we're going to get out. And then in like just a few days later, we're going to record again until we're all caught up.
Like every week, Monday, get out Wednesday or so.
That's the current plan.
Okay.
If we have it ready before and I can get it up before, then we do that. But I have every Monday booked to be with you, Steve.
I feel special.
Well, you're not, but...
So, I guess we could say why we ran a little bit behind, because that was really only the second month that we ever missed.
Yeah, so...
Busy month.
Yeah, let's cover a few things really quick. We had Oklahoma Bowl weekend. We were like, we'll record in a few weeks. And then Steve was coming into town, and I was like, we might as well just wait 4 days, and then we can talk about the weekend as well. And then things happened, and happened.
I found out my brother passed away on that weekend.
Correct. And we will do all this in proper time. but I do want to address that from the very beginning, because obviously it's your brother.
Yeah.
And you're the first one of my friends that had to encounter a sibling passing away that I know of. So how are you doing? And is there anything you want to say about it or anything we can do for you?
I'm doing fine. I mean, the main issue towards me was more the, because I found out right as I was traveling back from our friend weekend, like I was at the airport and found out. So then I had to delay that. And then I came back the following weekend for his remembrance, and just put a strain on me emotionally, physically, financially, all those. Overall, I'm fine. I mean, he is my brother, or was, and we got closer in the last 5 to 10 years, but we were never close growing up because he was 13 years older than me, and he's always the black sheep of the family and always doing his other stuff and had a family early and blah, blah, blah. So he's a sibling, but he was not the closest of my siblings. If it was my other brother, I would be a complete wreck. Not to say I didn't love him, but he also engaged in not so healthy habits, I'll say, and was not in the best of health-wise. We encouraged him to see a doctor. He refused. He was always the type, like, if I have cancer, I'd rather just, you know, die in bed in my sleep than have to worry about it. And he died in his sleep, so... Not entirely sure what happened yet. They're still working on that, but he went how he wanted, and it is what it is, you know. But overall, I'm doing fine. It sucks, but just got to move on. It wasn't a complete shock. Like I said, his health was not looking the best leading up to that time, but we didn't expect it to be so quick.
Correct. I know Ronnie because ever since we were roommates, and even afterwards, Ronnie was the, you know, you helped Ronnie out for many, many, many years. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
You paid for his phone because you wanted to make sure he had a way to communicate. And in a lot of ways, you took over the big brother role by taking care of Ronnie the best you could,
sure,
within reason. So therefore, kind of in a lot of ways, Ronnie was indebted to you. So like, if you needed like, hey, I'm going to buy this book collection, why don't you go pick it up for me Wednesday? And he would do it. He would jump for you and do it.
But he would anyways. He was just that type of person.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. Is like, I know I wasn't close to him, but I knew him and his number's in my phone. And I know if I really called him and said, hey, I need to move this, even though like he wasn't in the health to move something, he probably would have helped me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know, we helped move your storage unit stuff. You know, Ronnie was a wheeler and dealer, at least in my perspective, is like, sure. If you were going to throw something away, he's like, whoa, 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 I can sell that for $5 and all this stuff. When we moved your stuff out of the storage unit to move into my garage, there was a few, I mean, terrible bookshelves in there, but Ronnie wanted to take them home. And he goes, I'll sell them for us and we can split it. And I was just like, okay. And he even texted me, hey, I sold this bookshelf. I sold it for $20. I'll make sure you get half that. And I was just like, okay. And I didn't want the money. I didn't really care. He did all the work, but I just find it funny that like he texted me those things and everything. I always joked with you and, ironically enough, the Saturday night we were hanging out, I was teasing you about Ronnie, about how if you need a human foot, Ronnie could probably know a guy and ask how much time until he got one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the irony was the, you know, as we drop you off at the airport, I have to go pick you back up from the airport because of the bad news. So, yeah. I don't know what more to say to that except, you know, condolences. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is part of life, but it's not the part of life. You like getting older, and I don't like this side of the getting older stuff where people are getting older and people have to go away.
It definitely sucks. And unfortunately, he was living with my sister, who is 4 years older than he was, 3 years older than he was, or two, whatever. And she's also not in the best of health, and he was kind of serving as a catch-all, you know, to help her, make sure she got to the doctor's appointments, make sure if she fell, you know, got the ambulance or whatever. So now that he's not there, we're having to deal with her and her health issues and trying to get that sorted. And realistically, she could pass in the next month, who knows, because just the way things are going. And then my dad is 88 now, and I got a lot of, unfortunately, I have a lot of that coming up shortly, most likely.
Well, let's not hope it's anytime soon, because you've been to Oklahoma now, like 3 out of the last 6 weeks, and I don't think you, I know you like me, but you probably don't want to visit in a while.
No, and honestly, with Oklahoma and the traveling and the extra traveling, I'm so burned out on a lot of things. And of course, you know, grief and stress and everything. I've put on the back burner a lot of my travels. So I won't be going to Nova. If anyone is going to Nova and they can make use of an entry to the overall event and the 11s tournaments on Saturday and Sunday, hit me up because they would not refund me because I was 7 days late on that.
That means somebody out there can be Steve Kilowog and Campbell.
Well, I would get it switched over, I'm sure.
No, they have to represent you.
And then, so I think the next time I go out of state for a Blood Bowl tournament, aside from like Wyoming in September, will probably just be LVO in October, okay. And then Chaos Cup in November, and then reset fresh next year. So,
all right. Well, if there's nothing more you want to say on any of that, let's get into.
I do appreciate it. I will say, I do appreciate everyone reaching out and passing along their condolences. And, you know, there's nothing that helps, but that certainly.
Reaching out helps.
My brother passed. And as I said, he was older than me. We had a remembrance for the family. And then that evening, they had to get together at a bar because he was a drinker for quote-unquote friends. Nobody showed up. He was not a recluse. He was very chatty and out there and talking to people. His best friend in his life passed away earlier this year, and it was rough on him. But just the fact that I know that when I go, there will be people that miss me. And that is a huge deal, you know. We have affected people through this podcast, through our work, through doing tournaments, whatever. Take that for granted a lot of times. But when you see the starkness of a life end, and, you know, he has a daughter, he has a son, he'll continue those ways. But just the fact that he didn't have a close group of friends or anyone to mourn him besides that, and that's just unfortunate.
People reaching out and just saying they love you or if they can do anything, in a lot of ways, is just a reminder that you're not alone.
Yeah. It's very reassuring.
It does help, even though it doesn't help, if that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, there's like nothing you can do. And a lot of times I default to saying that is like, I know there's nothing I can say or do that's going to make it feel better, but I love you and I'm here if you need me. Okay. And a lot of times that's enough because people are just happy that somebody cares enough to reach out and say that. So
absolutely.
So it does mean something, I guess, in its own way.
But yeah, enough of that. We can move on to Oklahoma itself.
I wanted to get that over with now instead of talking about this like three episodes from now when we talk about playing all like 17 board games over a weekend and then go, hey, by the way, let's drop this bomb on everybody. So there's other little fun snippets and sicknesses and everything else we can do that with later.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Oklahoma Bowl weekend. It was the last weekend of June. Is that correct?
Yes.
This was the first time you flew in on a Thursday night, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And first time in a hotel.
Yeah, it was nice. The hotel room was awesome, nice and large. The crew there was great. It was really nice of them to, you know, do the tables how we wanted. They let us have full access. I'd never had any issues with them. It was a little dark, I think, was the main complaint, because the lights were not the best. Kind of true of any ballroom, I think, but that's something that we could look into.
I will give full disclosure here. I probably said it multiple times. When I went to go to the hotel, I said, there's no way I want to do it at this hotel. Now, I still stand by, like, doing it at Wizards is cheaper and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when I stopped at the hotel, they must have been redoing some things.
When you first checked it out, yes.
When I first checked it out, like in January, late December, whatever it was, it was night and day different. The guy was very accommodating because I talked to a different guy than the guy who set up the room. And I was like, no, we're supposed to have the full room. And he was like, no problem. And all this stuff. So like everything went really smooth. I thought that, like I said, it turned out way better than I expected. So, you know, I know I poo poo a lot of things and being like Mr. Half glass, half empty sometimes, or being a realistic point of view. But they topped all my expectations. It was way better than I thought. They brought water and stuff to the room. They even had like food for people if you wanted to. They had a kitchen at night. I even sampled their food.
It was really good.
It was surprisingly very well done. I mean, like, it wasn't even outrageously pricey. I mean, it was just like if you went to Chili's or something to eat.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ridiculous. And overall, the hotel did really good for us. They even had like cookies for like the hotel guests. But Scott went out there and had a few cookies every night.
They don't care.
Should we just start talking about the weekend itself?
Yeah, I guess to start off with, we did Spiky Cup a little different, or a lot different this year. Since Oklahoma was 2 days, Spiky Cup was held on that Friday night. And come to find out, I completely screwed up one of the rounds on the itinerary and or the schedule. And everyone who looked at it never caught it either. I gave like no time for round two. So ultimately, we ended up ending it much later than I wanted. But everyone seemed to have a blast.
Oh, was there like just a whole round missing?
Yeah. Round two basically was like 8:30. And round three was 8:30 or whatever.
Oh.
It was a mistake. So
that explains why we weren't on time.
Yeah. It kind of hurts when you do that.
So the format this year was a draft format. There was no budget. It was just
any seven players.
And any seven players, as long as they weren't the same race. So if you had a rat ogre, you could not play with a gutter runner.
For the positionals. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the four positionals, you had to at least take one 5 strength or more. And you could not take on the team at all any more than 1 2+ agility at all. Because they didn't want people overloading with elves or whatever.
So I guess I could call up my team really quick and we could talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't get to play either one this year. I'm not upset about it. Just thought it was interesting.
I thought you got to play sevens.
No. I didn't get to play at all.
Are you sure, sir?
Yes.
I know you've been through a lot, but are you sure, sir?
I can check my all-time tracker.
Okay. I swear to God you played. Because I brought your team down at least.
You're right.
Okay, I'll start to say.
I had one win, one tie, one loss. Guys, okay. my brain is shot after the last month.
Well, we totally understand why. You know, nobody's mad about it.
No.
So what I did with my team, first I thought, again, I owe you an apology because I thought this format was terrible. I thought it was confusing. I thought it was terrible. I thought, why can't we just play normal sevens? Nobody's going to understand this. I'm going to have to lend out 100 figures to people because some people have one or two teams. Now, that part was true. I did have to lend out a lot of miniatures.
And that was something I did not take into account because, you know, you and I have everything. So I just assume most people have everything. But you're right. They don't.
So the format was, is you get to make seven players. You know, four of them are any positionals. We're looking at the race qualifier, and then you have three lineman positionals. They could have all been the same race, meaning those could have been three Chaos Dwarves if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Or three Beastmen or whatever. And then you got a free Goblin as your bench player. He could only come into play once the team needed him to play. You got a bribe. You got one reroll. I believe that's everything, correct?
Yep.
Not every team was the same. There were some builds I know that just went with some big guys because there was only at least one big guy. You didn't have to have more. So it was very interesting. I went ahead and decided since I've played the Baetor Blackhearts, which is my Chaos Renegade team that I have like 50 miniatures for. I played them in 11s. I've played them in Gutter Bowl, and I thought, why not have an excuse to play with them for sevens?
Yeah.
And this is the format to do it. Since I have so many different miniatures to represent Chaos Renegades, I thought, here's the time to kind of use these. The first team I built was the team you used, which was like an all-star team of like Jordel. Got to use the Morg model, stuff like that. And that was the idea, was to use all these star player models that I normally don't get to use. And then I flipped about a week before thinking like, man, maybe I should just do the Blackhearts because, like I said, played them Gutter Bowl, played them in 11s. This would be kind of a cool excuse to use some of these models. So my team was a Noble Blitzer. I used the old second edition Galman Goreblade model for that. For my War Dancer, I used the old Turum Red Venom model. Then I used Slarga, a four strike, who looks like a werewolf, but is actually a mutant human. I used him as my werewolf, the forearm werewolf. He's a mutant human?
I guess he is.
Yeah.
I always took him as a mutated beast man.
Well, he played for Chaos Humans in second edition. So you're therefore. Right.
Yeah.
But I used him as the werewolf. And then I used a rat ogre, which I just kind of got finished and painted up within the last 2 years. So I've never used the rat ogre before for the Chaos Renegades. I used him and I named him Head Splitter. For my my lineman positionals, I used a beast man as Ironhead Rude Dog, who was in the fluff. Throttle Snot the Impaler, which is the dead version of Throttle Snot, Garbage Throttle Snot. I used him as a skink runner. And then I used a Burn Stunty Joy. It's an old Orkland Raiders. Gouged Eye Ork Lineman. So I had a tough Ork Lineman to take those hits for the Rat Ogre if needed. Makes sense. if he gets angry. And then, of course, my Goblin was Wildman Teeth Garland, who was an old player for the Underworld Creeper team from second edition as well. So this was my team. I was kind of looking forward to playing them. Their uniforms matched, so that made me feel good. First opponent was Joe Smith, came down from Missouri. Do you remember how many people we had for this event?
I do not. I think it was 12, something like that.
I can go view matches here. It is 12. It was 12 exactly. Not as many as we expected, but I also get it because
Do we want to talk about that now, or do we want to leave that for the end? Or just specifically this one?
No, we can talk about that whenever. I really thought there'd be a few more people here, but at the same time, it's sevens, and it's a weird sevens. And again, I was not sold on this either. It was about halfway through my game with Joe that I realized you stumbled onto something. It is a mixed race type team. There is not three guys with four strength. There's not three guys with, nine movement or, two plus edge. There wasn't multiples of everything. Everybody had like unique positionals.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of made you have to work your team the best you could. And it was kind of challenging and fun and wacky all at the same time. And this was my thoughts about halfway through this. I was kind of like a guy that was kind of going like, oh shit, what if Steve's right and this is fun?
Well, Steve stumbles on stuff luckily sometimes.
It's like I'm going to have to eat some crow probably on this. And me and Joe were laughing and having a good time. Now, I went into this playing about as loose as possible, just trying to just enjoy the moment, to have some fun because I haven't seen some of these people in a while and not get upset because it's also sevens. I mean, there's not a lot of rerolls. There's not much you can do. So it is what it is. I can't even remember my results now that I'm thinking about it. I'll get them up here in a second, though. Round one, I played Joe from Missouri. It was ended up being a 1-0 game. Then went on to round two. I played Armor Armadillo, which I believe is Austin.
Yeah, it's Austin.
Who came down. And Austin had a hell of a time in this game. Nothing he could do mattered. And everything I did was wonderful. I won 4-0.
Jesus.
So thank God I kind of enjoyed the format before I got to this point, because then I'd all of a sudden been going like, yeah, I love this. This was amazing. So after two rounds, I was 2-0, went into the top table. I played for the last round. I played Juggernaut. I believe they came from, is this the guys from
Illinois? Yeah.
Was it Illinois?
Not Illinois. Louisville. Sorry.
Louisville. Kentucky. Okay. Yeah. Louisville. And, We played our matches out. It ended up being a barn burner. It was 2-2. And long story short, let's get to some awards here. Let's see. Best defense went to Corave. Is that Corey?
That's Corey. Yep.
Okay.
Corey Avin.
Corey Avin. Okay. Well, best defense went to Corey. Primark, you know who that is? That was best sport.
I should. I don't.
Juggernaut, the guy played in the last round and we tied. He got third place. Hoovian, Seth came out for this event. Ironically enough, Seth was the one person I think that only played sevens but didn't want to play the regular Blood Bowl. He thought he had a for surefire cool way to like get some casualties, and he ended up getting the back of the pack. He had a death roller and a lot of big guys, and that didn't work out so well for him. Looks like Camacho, is that Camcho, is a fan favorite for the best painted award. Joe Smith got the Stunty Cup, and I don't remember, how did you award Stunty? Was it the team with the most Stunty figures?
It was an oversight, and there was no Stunty, so I was like, oh, well, I think he took a Stunty player on his team, so I gave it
so
to him.
So he was the highest with the most Stunty. Okay.
He might have been the only one.
Matt Strickland. Mastrick, 85, he got the most casualties. Most touchdowns went to Chainsaw Pill, who I don't know who that is. And then runner-up went to Zirian. And then the winner of Spiky Cup, this is 13?
Yeah.
It's Scott Prime!
Congratulations.
They tore Blackhearts. So not only do the Blackhearts have like the first Gutter Bowl championship at Chaos Cup from 2 years ago that everybody's going to act like they forgot because it wasn't a NAF tournament, but I played it out anyways, and I'm never going to let anybody forget. The Baytor Blackhearts also have a Spiky Cup, which makes me really happy.
It sounds like they should be your team to take to oddball tournaments.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, so if you ever go to another sevens or a draft or whatever, there you go.
If there's something wacky, I think that's what I'm going to do. And
well, you got a Dungeon Bowl one coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I was starting to say, we can talk about we will talk about this in one or two episodes from now. But going into this weekend, I'm going down to Texas where they're having a Sunday tournament that's Dungeon Bowl. And I'm taking the College of Metal, so I can use my Baytor Blackhearts models, since most of them are humanish, and I can run a few orcs with them, and I can still qualify for, you know, the College of Metal. So we'll see how that goes.
Metal.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'd be awesome if I came back and said, I won Dungeon Bowl with them. I'd be like, ah. Anyway, so that was Spiky Cup 13. That was Friday night.
So it did go a little later, like I said, than we expected, which... Everybody was new to it. I expected there to be people from Houston who are big into sevens, and nobody showed up. So that kind of sucked. So I was answering some questions, and that was our first time getting a lot of people put into Blood Bowl Tournament Manager and making sure they knew how to use it. And I will, again, give a huge shout-out to Sean Huberman for that app or the website, bbtm.app. Great way to run a tournament, especially like this. So much simpler.
I tell you what, you got to kind of reformat, like if you're doing, you know, your bonus points or something like that.
Yeah.
But it really runs the event smooth. And by having this that first night, we had so many new people that never had it. That was like 10 people that we didn't have to worry about teaching that the next day to.
Yep. And they could teach their opponents and all that.
Yeah, so it was actually really nice. And, yeah, that app it really does some good things. So I will talk about this later, too.
We can talk about that. I'll talk about it more on Oklahoma, too, because that made a huge difference on how it was run.
Sure. So we wrapped up, I think, around 11-ish. And then, like,
closer to 12 or 1. It was late.
Was it that late?
I don't know.
I don't remember it being 1, but you're the one who
may
didn't
not
get
have been 1.
Sleep.
I think it was after midnight, though, sadly.
So we locked the place up. We went home, did our thing, and then we started off the next morning. By this time, most, you know, when you have 12 people at the event the night before, and I believe that Oklahoma Bowl had, was it 24, 26?
Do I have it listed somewhere?
You sure must. Because you're Steve Kilowagi Campbell.
No, because if I played in it, I would have it listed, but I did not play in it, so.
Oh, well, I can tell you that here in a second.
I think it was 26.
I can tell you that right now. Hold on. I think it was 26, but I'm gonna, yeah, we had 26 people.
Okay.
Started off the next morning. So Oklahoma Bowl, we tried the format that we probably should have tried like 8 years ago instead of waiting till now. You remember the day where people wanted two-day tournaments and now they don't.
Yeah. And back in the day, everyone was clamoring for it. Now, I mean, we'll get into that. I think we'll deal with that at the end, but no.
So we kicked off Oklahoma Bowl. You know, half the people already picked up their stuff because they came up either early to pick up their stuff, even if they didn't play sevens. Because we had a few people just sitting around watching.
Yeah.
As we did stuff. So like check-in was really easy. Everybody got their like all their goodie swag. And then we even had a print for everybody of the big deal miniature that was done by Christian Swager.
I still don't have a copy of that.
Wow.
I keep forgetting.
There's a few left. I don't really have much to say except I just remember we started on I believe we started on time and
I will every say, round. So again, with Blood Bowl Tournament Manager, this was the most on time and easiest that I've ever had to run a tournament because I did not get to play. So I, in between rounds, you know, before we had the printed off sheets, everybody had to fill them out, and I had to sit at the computer and input them. None of that. Like, the round ended, I had to check with a couple of people because they didn't put everything in correctly or someone didn't hit the submit. Took no time to get it corrected. And by the time the last game was done, if I wanted to, I could hit next round and just go. And correct. Freaking amazing. Because it was no stress. And the whole weekend, like, I didn't have to mess with anything. I just had to be there to answer questions and deal with the app a little bit, but not, you know, oh, I screwed up this round, or, you know, hold off, everybody. Let me go ahead and print the roster or print the table numbers, and you can find out where everybody is. Nope. Right on the app. I hit go, and it tells you exactly where to go.
Yeah, we didn't fat finger anything. We didn't, you know, accidentally do something. We didn't have to try to figure out people's handwriting.
Yeah.
It went fairly smooth. So going into Oklahoma Bowl weekend, right before then, something spectacular happened, and I want to take a few moments to talk about this. So, because I don't think we got to talk about this since it's happened. The Oklahoma Thunder.
Oh.
Oklahoma City Thunder won the NBA championship.
I think we talked about it.
We did?
Because someone was bad-mouthing you.
Oh, well, good.
They can, but you can talk about it again since
you can
talk about what you got.
Now I'm going to be butthurt.
No, it's fine.
Who's bad-mouthing me? Tell me.
I don't remember.
Yeah, nice answer, Steve.
Dude, I don't remember Jack.
They jelly.
They are jelly, but yeah. You want to tell everybody what you got?
Well, anyways. Since we were still kind of living in that moment of like the Thunder winning, I went ahead and took a Goblin team back in our old friend league that we ran for 10 seasons with just buddies and stuff. A guy named Spence, he had a orc team that he named the Orca Goba City Thunder.
Thunder,
yeah. The Orca Goba City Thunder. And I remembered that, and I was trying to think of what I need to play and what I should play. And then I was just like, right now we don't need anybody because we have even people. I probably won't get to play. I still need to play goblins. Fine. I'll throw together a goblin team and I'll theme them after his Orca Goba City Thunder. And I had my buddy Robert take all the Thunder players and kind of give them goblinish names. And he loves to do that. So, like, instead of like Chet Holmgren, I got Cheddar Wood Wormgren, stuff like that. So, anyways, we had a good fun time making this roster up. My roster was 15 players, two trolls, Fungus the Loon, three bribes, I did have, I took the rostered fanatic, which was like for Shea Gildas Alexander. He was Shank Dildo Alligator, SDA. Then I had a Hooligan, of course, with Sneaky Git, and that rostered fanatic had Mighty Blow. Though, and then both trolls had block. So I didn't have many skills because I took the star player and took the hit on that. But two rerolls, and I thought, if I play them, I'll get them out of the way, and then I won't have to play them again. And if somebody drops, maybe I won't have to play them very long and all this stuff. Anywho, we had odd people. So I had to play these guys right from the beginning. And I wasn't real happy because, as you know, I really hate goblins for the most part. But no, here we are.
You absolutely hate goblins. It's always been, I never want to play them. I'll never play them again. You can't get me to play them.
Yeah. And here I am because I'm trying to play everybody twice through the 24 or whatever it is now, the 28 or 30 or whatever it is.
31. I don't know.
31, whatevs. But I was like, I gave myself some fluff that I enjoyed. It's like, okay, so it's the Orca Goba City Thunder. Here we go. Let's give this a shot. Round one, right off the bat, I get to play Patrick LeClaire. If you don't know Patrick, he's from the Dallas area. Him and his brother Gavin are really good Blood Bowl players. Patrick had his Orc team. I don't remember much about any of these games, if I'm going to be honest with you. So it's now been too long for Scott to remember much.
Of course, in this,
well, right. The truth is, when you're playing Stunty, you need some good luck to happen, and you need some bad luck on the other guy. And that did not happen here. And it was 2-0 loss for the Thunder. So, you know, we're already down for the series for the weekend.
And what was Gavin playing?
This was Patrick. This was Patrick. What he was Patrick playing Orcs. He was playing Orcs.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember his build. I don't think he had any stars or anything, but it was just a solid team, and he's a solid player. And when I tried to do some things that might hurt him, I hurt myself. And
yeah, of course.
You kind of went the way of Fungus the Loon is either going to take you home or he's going to make you take him home.
Yes. When he's amazing, he is amazing.
When he is hot, he is amazing, and people think that your dice are cheating and everything else. And it's like, look, dude, I don't know what to tell you. So anyways, round one, I got beat. No big deal. Round two, I played the gentleman I played the night before in Sevens, Juggernaut. He had a Skaven team, super nicely painted, beautiful looking team. We played this game complete opposite. I do know that. He had some bad luck. Fungus was just amazing and beat up a lot of his rats, and it was a win 2-0 for the Orca Goba City Thunder.
Nice.
And then we went into round three for the day against my good old buddy Mike Patterson and his dwarves. And of course we all know how Mike Patterson, he doesn't matter what team he takes, he's going to bash you, and he's going to kill every one of your guys, and he can do it without Mighty Blow, he can do it without ever getting caught by the ref, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've all been there, right?
Yep.
And this is like the worst matchup ever, you know, goblins versus dwarves. Long story short, Mike, it rained. I got the ball loose, up 2-1. Mike had one chance left. He rolled 2 2s to try to pick up the ball and walk into the end zone.
Oh.
The goblins win. The goblins win. The goblins win. Jeez. I was so freaking happy because, number one, Mike's a great player with every team. Mm-hmm. With every team. You know, you have some coaches, Brian too. We mentioned him a lot. Probably Vanderbee's the same way. Some guys are just really good with every team. They don't have like an Achilles tail, you know, Achilles tail. Like, oh, he's bringing chaos, so we know he sucks. He's not going to be very good this weekend. No, Mike is very good with every team, and the dice just didn't go his way. And sometimes Blood Bowl, it's better to be lucky than good. And like I said, goblins won. I was on cloud nine, super cloud nine. I was like, I'm 2-1 going into day two. Let's get some pizza and hang out.
Yeah, so I was tired. I don't remember why, but I don't know. I can't remember.
You got terrible sleep. I remember you complaining.
Yeah.
That no matter what you did, you couldn't get good sleep.
Yeah, it was a bad night. So I was, and we stayed up late, like I said, because and everything. Then I got up early, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I was pretty tired. So everyone's around hanging out, playing games, and we decided to order pizza. So I ordered pizza from Pizza Shuttle because I like Pizza Shuttle and there's not one anywhere near me. And I go to order it, and I apparently ordered it from the wrong place because they like, did you mean to order this from the Lindsay one? I'm like, whichever one delivers here. Yeah, that's not us. It's the Robinson one. Oh, okay. Well, I'll call them. So then I called them. I went on the website. I placed the order for them. You have to have barbecue sauce so as not to upset your tummy. And yep. I saw that they had barbecue chicken and they had barbecue beef, which you don't normally see. So I was like, which one do you want? Barbecue chicken or barbecue beef? And you said chicken. So I saw our chicken B and placed the order. It came and it was buffalo chicken.
Right.
And that's not so good. And me, I haven't called in a pizza order in so long. I called in and was like, hey, you know, I need another pizza sent out to the same address, you know, just barbecue, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, cool. We'll go ahead and get it sent out. I go, like, do you need payment or can I pay in cash? He goes, yeah, well, you can take cash. It's fine. And then I was like, oh, okay. And I got off the phone and I'm like, of course they take cash, you idiot. Jesus.
Yeah, you sound like an old man.
God, it was so dumb. But the pizza was good, so.
Yeah, pizza was good. And here's the good thing. Having it at the hotel allowed us to hang out.
Yeah.
In the room with all the tables. There was a half the room that you could play board games on. Jennifer came up to play board games with people. I think she played like three games before I even got... Me and Ben, one of our local guys, we were showing Corey Kill Team. So we set up a whole map and played out a scenario because Corey's kind of getting into Kill Team but was unsure and everything. So he kind of just watched and we kind of like told him everything we were doing step by step to kind of teach him a little bit. So me and Ben played one game of Kill Team. I think Jennifer played like three board games. I know Mike Patterson and a lot of the Dallas guys were playing a big giant game. And it looked like, I think Mike 3D printed some extra like terrain and stuff. I'm not 100% sure on this or if it was like a Kickstarter thing.
No idea.
It was for the game Thunder Road.
Thunder Road. Okay.
Thunder Road Vendetta. It's like a Mad Max Cannonball Run type game where you're just like shooting things and blowing people up and trying to survive. But you're also racing. It is a fun game, but you can't get mad either way because it's just pure chaos. You just roll dice and hope that you don't fall off the board type deal. They were having a blast. I think they played a couple of games. Finally, after all that stuff wrapped up, we played one big game of Camp Grizzly. Mike played with us. I know Seth played with us. I think we had six people. I think we maxed out at six people. It was the first time I've ever played Camp Grizzly. They have these things called cameos. So Camp Grizzly is like in case you're not familiar, it's like a 1980s horror movie game. It has the same tropes. Instead of a Jason in a hockey mask, it has Cletus? The guy, if you wouldn't, yeah. Otis is in a bear mask, and it's all kind of bear themed things because he has a bear mask on, and you have to run around and collect like the keys and a rope and some gasoline so you can go to maybe the go start the motorboat and try to escape the camp before everybody gets murdered. The body count goes up, he gets tougher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't say it's a great game, but I think it's a great experience game, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, mechanically, it's a ton of fun. I don't know. everybody always has fun. That's the main thing. Yeah. It even has like the same tropes of like you had to pick somebody and go to the docks and you're going to start making it, fooling around is what they call it. And they have a number in parentheses and you got to flip over that many cards to see if you get caught or not. So we always have a blast with it. So all six of us are playing it and they have cameos. It's like the, you know, the butthead cop that wants to give the teenagers a hard time, or the detectives, or the school counselor that's trying to hunt them down. And they also can get killed in this game. There's like six cameos in the game. This is the first time we had all six counselors and all six cameos at the same time playing the game. Jeez. It was crazy. Long story short, we ended up actually beating the game, if I remember correctly. I can't remember which ending we got to exactly, but we had a good laugh, a good time. Everybody was laughing. Mike was drunk, drinking some beer, brewskis and stuff, and lots of laughs and fellowship, and it was a reminder of why you go to Blood Bowl tournaments.
Yeah.
It was a clear reminder that, like, the Blood Bowl is kind of the fuel to go get you to hang out and just enjoy some people. So we had a really good time, and that was a great experience being able to do that at the hotel. We finally locked everything up, and then we started Sunday, unless there's anything else you can think of.
No. Sunday comes around, and real simple. Play a couple of rounds, and that was it.
Did we have a lunch break? We did not, right?
Not on Sunday.
We just played these through. We decided to do that.
On Saturday, we got Jersey Mike's.
Oh, that's right. I went and picked up Jersey Mike's. That's right.
I love Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, we had some tasty food that weekend for sure. So here we are, round four. My goblins are 2-1. I sit down against Primark, who was from Louisville, one of the guys from Louisville. He had an undead team. I don't remember what they had on them, but it was a good undead team. This is one of those other games where, like, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, because mm-hmm. Fungus the Loon did what I needed him to do. So I believe against the Skaven team and against this undead team, my rostered fanatic, SDA, never got into the game because I never played both loonies at the same time. I didn't play both fanatics at the same time. I was trying to really work the bribe system and everything and maximize it as best I could and hope that I keep guys alive so I wouldn't have to be forced to play them and go through my bribes. And when it worked amazing. And this is another one of those days where this game was just like lights out. I could do no wrong. He could do no right. Ended up being a 1-0 victory for the Orca Goba City Thunder. Jeez. So going into the last round, top table was Grotbreaker, which is Gavin LeClaire, versus myself at the top table. Gavin top also had a
table with goblins.
Yeah, 3-1. I was stoked. Stoked. I needed a lot. I needed another one of those type games where they roll bad and I roll good, etc. And I went for it. I got the kickoff and I decided to hit first to try to like injure some of his guys and maybe take him down. We had rain for our weather, and it was an awful half. awful first half. So bad. To my recollection, I've never been pitch cleared until this Sunday. I got pitch cleared in the first half.
Huh.
And it was very humbling. And I mean, like, four plays in, I was like, okay, this game's over. But a lot of them were, like, most of them were knockouts. So, like, I was still kind of, like, just barely alive if I could recover these. He scores. We go into halftime. But I'm kicking off to him. And it's just like, okay, I've injured, like, two of his dudes. Not enough. I set up with, I think, maybe nine guys. I don't remember. It wasn't a full team, but it was just enough. I put some guys on the flank. There was like, I think four turns in a row. I could be wrong on this. Maybe five. That he could not pick up the ball. The rain was just enough to affect him picking up the ball. I know I had like two goblins back there versus like two of his ghouls, and they were like all kind of like fighting it out and trying to pick it up, and nobody could pick it up. Eventually, I think it was like turn six. My turn six. Yes, I think because he had two plays left that I scooped up in a tackle zone. Dodged away, did two go for it, scored 1-1. Now, I still didn't have many players left. I kicked off to him. The ball went perfectly into the far corner. He went back there. He couldn't pick up the ball. And long story short, he had like one chance left, but I made sure to tackle like the one guy he could throw it to and maybe score. And we ended this game 1-1. So I took the fought through it, picked up the tie. We had a great experience. We were done every bit of 45 minutes before else because the first half, I mean, he just murdered me the first half. So I wanted to give him a game. I guess I kind of gave him a game.
You tied him with goblins. Yeah, you gave him a game.
He was super happy because he was the only 4-0 guy. So, like, I guess he already did the math numbers. He knew, like, a tie would get him a tournament victory. And I believe it's his first NAF-like trophy tournament.
Yeah.
So he was really excited. We played a good time. It was the first time I've ever played both of the Clairs.
Yeah.
So we went through that. And anyways, good time overall. When it was all said and done, I think I finished, I want to say, fifth overall, sixth overall.
I don't remember either.
I know I got, I was the highest stunty. There was,
Yeah, you got Stunty Cup. Let me go ahead and go through the awards. Yeah. Obviously, we know who got first. And then John Spurgeon came in second.
Nope. That's Jason Campbell.
That's Jason Campbell. That's right. God. And then Primark got most touchdowns, most casualties went to Patrick LeClaire.
Right.
Best painted went to Pooh Beezy. And then Joe got third place.
This orc team.
Zarian got back of the pack. Ix got best sport. And Richie McCaw best defense.
A dark elf team best defense.
Mm-hmm.
A back of the pack went to an orc team? Wow.
Ogres. Oh, wait, no, orc. You're right, yeah.
Huh.
He was new-ish, I think.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. Well, anyways, like I said, we had 26 people. The tournament ran super smooth.
It was a super smooth, easy weekend. Everyone who came had a lot of fun. And we gave away a crap ton of stuff. Thankfully, a lot of people purchased raffle tickets to help offset the expected attendance.
But yeah, I think there was there like 28 items or something? I mean, it was
some craziness.
There was a lot of teams. There was a lot of teams from GW. There was a lot of teams from like, was it Ugni and other people like that who.
Yeah, Kodos Miniatures hooked us up. We had a lot of dice sets from Baron of Dice.
Yeah, so, yeah, thank God people came with their money to buy a bunch of tickets. And I honestly, everybody had a good time with that, too. One of the gentlemen who was there, I got his son to help me, do all the drawings. We made double-checked all the awards and stuff like that. I think for the most part, everybody was happy that they won this or that.
Yeah.
I believe Jason Campbell won the painted team. Is that correct?
Sounds right. Couldn't tell you.
I believe he did because I think somebody was teasing him about it.
And it's painted by Charles Hauer in OU colors. It was awesome looking.
Yeah, it was an OU orc team. So
no.
No?
No, this was Nuffleween related, remember? It was an undead
team.
Oh,
it was a necro team.
Yeah, I guess necro. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a necro team. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. I was thinking of your old.
Oh, my Orcs in Uniform?
Yeah, I love
those guys.
Yeah, it has that old classic look to them. But
so overall, this was a great weekend. We did have a ton of fun. Everyone who attended had a ton of fun. The main thing that we heard is, why'd you change up the format? We don't like the new format. Go back to the old format. Blah, blah, blah. So this experiment failed big time. And we will be going back to the old format. However, we will also be including a Friday night event, the Riccardo Ferminelli Open, which will be similar to the same rules of this year. So we'll have sevens on Friday, then Oklahoma on Saturday, four rounds, and then Spiky on Sunday for three rounds. And I think we're going to do it at the same place. Supposed to hear back from them, haven't yet, but I don't see that being an issue. And it is going back to March, so March 14th.
So plan that now, because we've heard a lot of things. You know, heard we don't like the rule set. Or why can't Slam play? And then you let Slam play, and then those people don't show up. And then, you know, this and that, and we change things to be accommodating. And look, as a tournament organizer, I'm telling you people right now, you are not going to make everybody happy. So you're just going to have to kind of roll with it. And sometimes you learn from bad things you do that you try. And this is one thing we tried and probably was a mistake overall. Maybe the timing was bad being in summer.
The timing was a lot of things. Timing was bad. The actual, because it was the weekend before the 4th and everybody was like, oh, I can't do that because I'm leaving the next week or whatever. And
right.
So we get it. Things happen.
We totally understand. But the great thing is a lot of times these smaller, what ends up being a smaller tournament actually ends up being almost a little bit more fun because you get to hang out with so many more people than you normally would have been. I mean, if we would have had double that, yes, our pocketbooks would have been like really happy and we would have been bragging that we had 54 people and all this stuff. We would have. No doubt about it. But the truth is like I felt like I got to at least shake hands and talk to almost every person there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was nice.
Yep. A thing sure did come. We're just going back to everybody gets dice and that's it.
Well,
show up for the fun. No.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, I'm sure. And I think, something.
I don't know if trinkets and keychains and things, I don't know if any of that actually pulls extra people in anyways. Anymore, at least from my standpoint of going to tournaments over the years.
Nothing does. We've had this discussion before. A tournament with 8 people can give away a fully customized 16-player full team, every sculpt different, for $10. I mean, we can't compete with that. I mean,
right.
Nobody cares. I mean, people care, but everybody's got access to everything now. It's not as unique.
I agree. One thing I did run into, and I'm just going to talk about it briefly, at one of my opponents at one point, was rolling to, I can't remember if it was dodge or to pick up the ball. I can't even remember that closely, but they decided since it was the only time they were going to do this action, that they were going to roll 2 dice and they did it so quick. I didn't have a chance to stop them. We had a pleasant conversation, and long term, I was like, you're not really doing that to save time, because they gave me that at first, like, well, it's the only time I'm going to use it. It'll just save some time. And I was like, yeah, but there's something really awful about rolling that second dice if that first one was a 1. And they finally kind of caught to, like, yeah, it does feel better to roll 2 dice, knowing that the chances of rolling snake eyes is way less with 2 dice than 1 reroll 1. So
not really, but
it feels like
I find it amusing that your whole basis of the argument is I want you to feel worse about failing when you do.
Yes.
And that's
there is stress, though. There's stress over time.
But stress doesn't over time. Okay.
Stress over a game where you roll, like, let's say you have a guy with sure feet, and every turn you make him go for it once. those turns where you start to get roll that one the first time, even if you're successful the second time, you start feeling that stress of what if, what if, what if, versus if you rolled two dice, you don't even think about it. So there is some added stress, and nowhere in the book does it say, go ahead and roll two dice if you're not going to do it ever again, whether you're dodging or sure hands or sure feet or whatever.
I understand.
So, okay. Well, anyways, so make sure your opponents know things like, if that's how you play, let's play by the real rules and just roll one dice at a time. Right. We'll take the extra 10 seconds and it will be okay. We'll still finish on time. My opponent actually didn't have a problem with me saying anything. He didn't do it again. It wasn't a big deal. I just brought it up. I believe the same people went to a tournament up in Canada, and they said that everybody looked at them like they were crazy when they were doing that. So it is different.
I get it. Yep.
So what else do we want to say about Oklahoma Bowl weekend, Steve?
Not a whole lot. It was, to put a downer on it, it was the last time I got to see my brother. I made time to have lunch with him on that Friday. And so that was nice.
I did forget about that. So that is actually really nice.
Yeah. And then when I came in, we'll talk about this next time, but when I came into town for the Friends weekend, I made sure, I don't want people to know because I don't want to see everybody again. I just want to, do whatever. I was supposed to see him on Sunday anyways. We were going to go up to Dad's and see Dad, but he was sick on Saturday night, and then by the time I found out, he'd passed. So,
right. Well, if you have nothing else to say, we can kind of wrap this up with some shout-outs, and I'm not even going to scream it out, because I'd like to shout out the people that did travel in for Oklahoma Bowl weekend. I know we had some people come from, was it Wisconsin?
One guy came down from Wisconsin, yeah.
Wisconsin, we had the Louisville guys, we had Joe from Missouri, we had some Texas guys come in, so we had some out of towners, and it was nice.
So one shout out, we had someone write in, Daniel Hawkins, and he came up with an idea. Curious what you would think. In a league, it's an idea that egregious fouls would give a one game suspension. So either they roll doubles both times, or if it's a turn 16 foul and you get caught, something like that. So add a little. I think his whole point was fouling's too easy, but there's only no negative for that one game, And I've done that before where if I'm losing people and I don't want someone to get hurt, you better believe I start fouling with that person. Okay, here, take me out. I don't want this guy to get killed.
I like the idea from a fluff standpoint, especially if it was a league. Don't know about the – while I might not foul on turn 16, I totally understand that, it's a valid strategy.
For sure.
When I – in our league with my vampire team, I wasn't telling people they should be fouling me because they should. Because what if you play me in the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely.
You want to foul my vampire and strength bust him because I already have block and dodge on him. So I have a choice now to cut him, spend some of my money, or keep him and be at a disadvantage. So I think it's a valid strategy. I don't like being on the receiving ends of it. But
nobody does.
It is a valid strategy. I guess more than anything, I'm mad because I see it in Discord. I see it online. I hear people talking about it all the time. Oh, you just need to blah, 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 blah. And then you take dirty player and sneaky get, and you just keep fouling them. And you can clear off three or four guys. And it's like, how come that only works for you? Because me and Gary had this big conversation on our trip to Lubbock there and back about how we're about 50-50. If I foul four times, I'm probably going to get caught twice for the whole tournament. And same with him. Why there's other people who go I only had 12 guys and I fouled for every turn I could and it never hurt me. And it's just
almost like dice rolls are random. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, there's truth to it, for sure.
So, anywho.
But yeah, that's all I have for right now. I do appreciate everyone coming out, all the sponsors, everyone who's purchased stuff from Big Deal Swag.
We had a lot of new people at Oklahoma Bowl weekend, and I think we're going to have a lot of those people come back. So
yeah.
So that was really nice. So we really appreciate that. And besides that, we want to talk more because we have more to talk about. But we told ourselves that we were going to break this up and, instead of 1 6-hour podcast, give you a couple of hour to hour and a half podcasts all month long.
Yep. So
people
will be back.
So people like Phil will be really happy when they drive to work and they can listen to our lovely voices every day.
Exactly.
So with that said, Steve, if there's nothing else you want to add.
We were on Zerpcast.
We were.
Yeah, we called
just
in.
Briefly.
They had a 4-hour episode, the live call-in episode, and we were the first ones to call in, apparently.
Is that episode like on YouTube, or are they posting
it? I don't know.
Is it just kind of like if you were there, you were there, otherwise it didn't.
It's on the audio feed, so
if
you download the episode, it'll be there.
Yeah, so if you do listen to that and you go, Scott's acting weird, it's because everything was echoing in my head.
Yeah.
So like if I said something, I heard it like 4 times in my own head. If Johnny said something, it echoed 4 times in my own head. So speaking and hearing myself echo was really frustrating, and it made it almost unbearable.
Totally get it. But no, that's all. That's all I got.
All right, well, with great love to you, Steve, and your family. And again, I'm sorry about Ronnie. I feel especially bad since I was teasing you the night before. Because as good friends do, we break each other's balls. And
of course.
I was saying some mean yet funny things.
I think I blamed you for it. I was like, this is all your talk from the previous day.
Yeah, and deservingly so. I mean, it's... So I feel really bad about that, and I don't like to see my friends hurt. So I'm sorry you had to go through that. And
but I appreciate it. Yeah.
Anyways, sometimes people going away is a good reminder to live while you're here and to appreciate those things that you mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll go more into detail on that because next episode's talking about our friend weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I believe so. Yeah. Let me actually look the notes really quick since I know we're kind of just BSing here. But so yeah.
We've tried next to end this like 10 times.
Yeah. Well, this one I promise. So next time we will have some Blood Bowl to talk about. I'm gonna give you an update on the Cobble Blood Bowl League, and we're gonna talk about Friends Weekend. And all the games we played. There was like 17 board games played over the weekend, and we're going to, whether we played in all of them or not, we're still going to talk about each game and our thoughts about them and to share a slice of our life with you. So
sounds
that's
good.
What you got looking forward to next episode.
Okay, and we are out of here.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
beer runs down in front of my back. Well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella, cause you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing, you're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No.
You're my friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
Lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Woo!
Red Solo Cup.
Red Solo.
I fill you up. Let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Solo Cup,
Red Solo Cup.
I fill you up.
Let's have a party. Proceed to party.
Solo Cup.
Bodo.
Solo Cup.
Oh, Bodo.
Yeah!
Bodo.
Solo Cup.
Lady Lemon.
Solo Cup.
Beat up my.